And not picking on you particularly or me particularly, just it's fascinating when God calls, how many ways people respond. Here's Moses. Moses gets called by God in the burning bush. And from Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, he said to God, "Who am I that I should go talk to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What are you, nuts?" That's an ad lib at the end there, in case you didn't know. But it is an honest answer. It's who Moses was. It's how he responded to the call of God. Who am I? A little later on, I don't have it right in front of me, but he said pretty much this. I can't even talk. I stumble over my... What am I going to do? How can you ask me to do this? What am I even going to tell him? I mean, he has a real argument with God. This is not just a parable that Jesus told set to music. I think you all know that's a parable, right? Where they all go, "I can't come." And I always liked it from when I heard it the first few times. And it was one of those easy songs that I could remember. And it just always, "But I cannot come." And then, you know, Jeremiah, a little later on, prophet. Words of Hilkiah and so on. So the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign Josiah, son of Amnon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year, Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem were in exile, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah. "Ah, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a kid. What do you want?" The little "what do you want" is mine at the end. An excuse. "I'm not going to do it." Please understand, these aren't small tasks. You do understand, I like this certain guy on the YouTube, and he always goes, "I really don't care about your feelings. If it's a fact, it's a fact." You understand? A fact doesn't care about your feelings. And they go, "Oh, that's right. You know, the fact is you ran into the back of my car. You may feel bad, but the fact is you still owe me $3,000 or however, you know, the fact." And here he goes. He goes, "I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child." And the phrasing comes back, this, and the Lord says, "Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Now, I want you to notice a pattern. Because the pattern, I didn't quite read all of it with Moses, but there's a pattern. I run, okay, because I don't think I want to do what you're calling me to do. And God turns me around and sends me in a brand new direction. A little later on, we've got the situation with Gideon. Gideon goes like this. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and it says, and he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God's talking to Gideon. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand, where I am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." Excuse making. Now, you do know Gideon eventually had to go. And you do know how that story ended. He was fighting something like 21 or 31,000, I didn't look it up, people, and he went with an army of about 300. And he won. And God got the praise and the victory for it. But the thing I'm talking about today is the "I can't." All right? I can't do that because that's frequently the way I like to respond. I suggest it's maybe the way you find yourself responding too. Come on down to the altar, son. We'll pray with you. It's all right. So here's the point. Here's what I want you to notice. You're going to find in Scripture the reality of how people frequently respond to God, they respond with, I can't. Or sometimes we respond with, I won't. Guy named Jonah, right? Go to Nineveh, preach to Nineveh. I won't, he shouts back to God, and he takes off in another direction. Now, the reason I want to make this clear is I don't want you to think that we're the first generation of I can'ts and I won'ts. But I also want you to make it clear that God sent every one of those people I've named so far, and they got the job done. So there's kind of a double kick here. One is we're not alone in thinking we can't or I won't, but we better not be alone in understanding that when God sends you, you better go, because God is sending you for a purpose. It goes, the next one is not just I don't won't, but I don't want to. You ever use that one? How would you like to come and witness with us today? I don't want to do that. How would you like to take food to the poor? I don't want to do that. You know, how would you like, you understand, they fill it in with, it's kind of like when you ask your kids, how would you like to set table for me? They say, I don't want to. And then you go, well, you said, do I want to? Right? And you answered correctly, and then you get disciplined. But, you know, you get the idea. So you don't say, you just simply go, set the table for me, please. And then there's no kind of discussion. All you parents know that if you've had one or two in the process along the way. So the concept, this is the one I like to use sometimes, use a series. I don't know how to do that. You ever use that one? I'd like you to teach adult Bible study next Sunday. I don't know how to do that. I'd like you to run the sound system. I don't know how to do that. God doesn't care. He loves you like crazy. If I let my kids say, come fry your own egg, I don't know how to do that. Here they are, standing on a chair, backwards against the side of the stove. Dad's watching it very carefully, and they're frying their own egg for breakfast. Why do I have them, and why did I ask or make them come do it? So they would learn. Here's the challenge. Simple text. I had them read the whole little section. But the last of the line, I can do all things, everything, through him who gives me, in the Greek, it's the dynamite, the power. I hate to break it to you. God is going to ask you to do things that you don't want to, that you think you can't, and you don't know how to do it, and all the rest, and you're still going to have to get up and go to the people and talk to Pharaoh on behalf of Israel. You're still going to be sent to take on the Ninevites. You're still going to be sent to understand you're the next Gideon and you've got a battle to fight, and you're going to have to do it with the power of God, because there is no way you've got anything that it takes to fight the battle. And so the challenge as we sit here listening to this text and allowing it to minister to us is we have to begin to understand that Paul comes out of this. He goes, how would you like to volunteer for, let's say, 3 years of intense suffering with a nasty disease? You'll be crippled, half in bed, half out of bed. Anyone want to volunteer? Well, no one raises their hand. I wouldn't. You understand? We don't do that. But you have to understand there is this reality of how life works and what God accomplishes in these situations. Anyone want to volunteer to be Job? All right, first you're going to kill all your kids that you've had so far. Then you're going to have to start all over again. And you're still going to have to praise God. And you want to test to see if their faith can handle that kind of pressure? You go, this is not an accident that Christ is talking about this. And here's Paul. He goes, you know what? Listen to the words. I've learned. That means I had to be taught. I've learned in whatever condition or state I am in, whatever situation or circumstance I am in to be content. I got my priorities right. I got my eyes on Jesus. I've learned what it's like to be gluttonously filled to overflowing, like we're all going to be after Thanksgiving lunch. And I've learned what it's like to live on 5 kernels of corn for almost all winter. Boy, would we be thin, eh? I don't know what they're doing at that church, but everybody looks so good and thin over there. Well, it's our Thanksgiving. We all get 5 dried pieces of corn every year. And Pastor, remember I told you I wanted to say thank you to all. 5 kernels of corn are available to all of you upon request. So you begin to understand. I go, here's God, and he's talking to the 21st century church, us guys. And he's going, what do you think? I'm going to ask you to do something that you feel comfortable with all the time? Do you think I'm going to set it up in such a way that you're not going to have to be the next Gideon? That you're not going to have to walk down some path you've never walked before? That you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and see an 80-year-old man going, God, you got to be nuts. I can't go to Pharaoh. He'll hate me. God says, what did I tell you to do? Go. You understand this challenge, and Paul points out, he says, listen, I had to learn. I have learned. It's a past tense thing. I've learned in whatever condition I am in to be content. And you have to understand the beauty of the words that it says, I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. The can do is also the word for, we get our word dynamite. In other words, I have this ability, I'll use the word, to explode way beyond the limitations of what I am, because God is the explosive. Here's the power. Pastor, I'm going to like you to go move this rock. Right. Now move the rock. Boom. Stick it under there, light the fuse, walk away. Boom. How did I move the rock? Through the strength that was given to me, the power that came to me through the mercy and the grace of God. That's the challenge of the text. Because in the middle of the circumstances of our life and the conditions we deal with today, we have to understand how significant this statement really is. When God challenges us, invites us, causes us to hear that calling upon our lives, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How did he know that? You know what? I had so little food while I was in prison sometimes, I got 5 kernels of corn and I lived on that. You ever heard the story of the prisoners of war from the Second World War? And they bring those men out and they're skeletons. And they haven't eaten much but the garbage of whatever they fed them. And they survive for 1 and 2 and 5 years sometimes in unbelievable conditions. I've learned what it's like to be hungry. And now you see them and they're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. And they're sharing some of their testimony. And they're round and American looking. I've learned the condition, and they can talk about it with authority. They know what it took to survive. They understood. So you have to recognize, what is God calling us to through this message from Paul? He's calling us into the life challenges that are in front of us. We have to begin to realize that there is this reality that we have, even when you're walking into an area where you go, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. Good. Who are you going to rely on? Dear God, I heard this text in the middle of the week. You can laugh at me if you want. Heard this text in the middle of the week. I was studying it, reading it in several Bible studies, and the Lord says, that's your sermon for Sunday. I said, okay, thank you. I'm looking at the end of the week trying to remember what the text was. You know, Lord, this isn't working well. He said, yeah, I know your memory's a little set. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I decided, I told you, I like to listen to YouTube guys, and listening to the speaker, and all of a sudden, he quotes the quote. There it is. God said, I knew you needed help. Next time, write it down. Okay, so I do have this in my wall, in my little booklet in my pocket now. At all times, I've got, don't ever find it. It's good stuff in there. And but you understand, I go, if you don't know, God is wanting to minister it to you. Of course you can't survive some situations. Of course you don't have the strength. Of course you don't have the ability to deal with the pain or deal with the sadness and the grief of the loss and deal with the unpredictabilities that you've had. Those are not within the framework of your typical human strength. It's going to have to be dynamited into your hand, into your heart, and that's what God's talking about. And I listened to this one example, and a guy said, you know, you have to understand that in Christ, you have all the dynamite that you need. You may not realize you can move that rock until someone walks up to you and says, will you come witness to my mother? You know, I'm 12, I'm 14, I'm 17, I'm 22, I'm 35, I'm nobody, right? Sound like Moses and Jeremiah and Gideon. And God goes, I said to go. You got an invitation, go witness. And you walk over to that situation and that mom is like a huge rock, immovable. And you go, what am I going to say? And you put that stick of dynamite that God's placed within you into that hand. And you notice the neat part about Gideon's story is God says, Gideon, go in the strength that you have. Guess what? I can actually put a stick of dynamite under a rock and light a match and run. Well, walk fast. But you understand, here's the point. God is asking me to do that so that the next time I get called to witness to a mom or some situation, called to forgive an unforgivable deed that's been done to me, called to do whatever else it is, I have learned in whatever condition I am in that God is more than sufficient to dynamite the condition. I heard an example once where a guy used, he said it was pretty good. He said, you know, my car broke down. And he said, I was in a situation where it wasn't going to run. The engine went, whatever it did. And he said, so I called AAA. And you know what AAA did? They sent out a far larger vehicle. And this vehicle came up next to mine and just slid underneath it, pulled it up, and drove me all the way back into town to the shop where I needed to get it. And he said, some of us forget that your reliance is not on your car that blew up. Your reliance is that the God of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, what has he done? He not only paid for my sins, he paid for the sins of the whole world. He not only bore up underneath the inconsistencies of my life, he's carried all the inconsistencies of the world, and he is that Mack truck able to pick Bruce Harmon's life up and carry him where he needs to go. I don't know what Gideon's situation I'll have to deal with, and neither do you. I don't know where my next Moses situation is, where God calls me to go and rescue, but you understand. That's why you keep reading about these people at different ages of their life, and they go, yeah, the Lord just made it really clear. We're selling our house. We're selling everything. We're going to go witness. We had a couple do that end of the school year's things. One of my students was going to, do you remember where Tom was going? Tom Forkey, he and his wife. Missionaries to Far East somewhere. And I go, here they are, this young man, this beautiful wife, and they're just, we're going. That's where God wants us to go. And God goes, that's who I am. You have to understand. If you miss this, you will never be able to confess with Paul. I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. Not because contentedness is a part of my character, but because in Christ, I know if my car is broken, he's coming with the bigger truck. I just have to learn to watch. I have to learn to ask. And I have to learn to see what God's going to do with that. Because you watch every one of those accounts and those stories, and you know the ending. God doesn't want you just to look backwards and say, wow, Moses was so strong, or Gideon was so brave, or any of these other characters, David, when he really took on his Goliath. He says, it's you. And that's what he's calling us to in understanding this. He says, this is the character that God is longing to develop in us. So one of the things that you have to understand and recognize is that there is power that you have that you sometimes don't realize. One last point, it really is. Sometimes we get talked out of something with a demonic attack. And here's what I want you to learn. It's a little bit like a man with a gun. A man with a gun comes and threatens you. You probably do pretty much what the guy says. As soon as you find out there are no bullets, it changes the whole dynamic of what's going to happen next. Satan screams at you like a lion with teeth. They've been taken. He is an empty gun that has no bullets. You cannot let Satan have you with his screaming, hollering, yelling, and belittling. He will talk you down to nothing. And so the challenge in front of us is to learn that in whatever condition I am in, to trust that God is big enough to move me in my circumstance, to cause me to make a difference in the life of my family, the people I work with, or wherever it is God's calling me to be, so that finally you can say, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, please. Or all through this. Okay, here we go. Pray with me. Lord, I sometimes feel I'm the conglomeration of all those weakness characteristics of the men and women of this past. And Lord, pour into us a power. Pour into us an obedience. Pour into us the trust and the understanding that this is a victory that you've already won. Help us to understand what it means to, by faith, trust in you, to walk not believing in our own strength, courage, faith, or anything, but believing in the power of your arm, the power of your word, the power of your ability to change the circumstances we're in and give us strength beyond anything we could possibly ask or imagine. Bless each of us with that, Lord, and help us to hear your call more clearly every day. Pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you're a guest or a visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. We just appreciate you being here. If you need some, take it out. And if you need more, come and ask us. We'll see what we can do for you.
Mama hollers supper time, and don't make me tell you twice, wash your hands and wipe your face. The table's no place for your toys, and try to use your inside voice, don't dig in till we say grace. So we put down our forks and bowed our heads. Then she prayed the strangest prayer ever said. I want to thank you, Lord, for noisy children and slamming doors, a clothes scattered all over the floor, a husband working all the time, dragging in dead tired at night. Dirty real still and quiet. And Daddy asked, "Hun, are you all right?" She said, "There ain't nothing wrong." Noisy kids are happy kids, and slamming doors just means we live in a warm and loving home. Your long hours and those dishes in the sink means a job and enough to eat. So I'm gonna thank you, Lord, for noisy children and slamming doors and clothes scattered all over.